A warm welcome to this very, very special service. This is part of a series. We are on our way to Christmas, and the four Sundays before Christmas is the time of Advent. And then obviously we have Christmas Day. So it's 5 weeks of absolute joy and peace and thinking about the Savior that was born, thinking about Jesus that came to earth. And this is the second in our series. And it's all about joy. What a privilege for me to speak about the topic of joy to you. And the moment I use the word joy within the Christmas context, there's a song in my head. And I know that you know exactly what I'm talking about. The good news, I'm not going to sing the song. I will leave that to the musicians. I'm going to read to you some of the lyrics of this beautiful, beautiful Christmas carol, Joy to the World. The first verse, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. That is what Christmas is all about. And then the second verse, Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. You can sing it on your side. I'm not going to do it. But you have the word joy 4 times in the second verse because Christmas is all about joy. Our preparation time up to Christmas is all about joy, experiencing joy, learning about joy, what joy really is and how to live joy in this troubled, troubled world. I want to give you some background about this song. While preparing for this message, I wondered, where did the songwriter got this lyrics? And I'm going to read it to you. Joy to the World is an English Christmas carol. The carol was written in 1719 by the English minister and hymn writer, Isaac Watts. And its lyrics are an interpretation of Psalm 98, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I did not know that the lyrics of this song came from Psalm 98. Isaac Watts wrote it from Psalm 98. So the logical thing to do and the correct thing to do at this moment, I'm going to read to you the beautiful words of Psalm 98, specifically verses 4-8. And here we go. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing. With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Oh my word, isn't it beautiful? The rivers are taking part. The mountains are taking part. The sea is taking part. Clap their hands. Sing together for joy. It's a joyful time. It's a joyful moment. It's a joyful. The King Jesus came to earth. The Savior came to earth. Psalm 98. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. So let's go to the New Testament, where the angel speak to the shepherds. Luke 2, verse 10, well-known verse again. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. So we have two things here, very important. Good news that will cause great joy. What is the good news? There's going to be a birth. This is the announcement of the birth. This is the announcement of an event, a very, very important event in history. There's going to be a birth. But what makes this different, that will cause great joy for all the people, it's all about the person. It's all about the person. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's not just about there's a birth, there's a new baby. Obviously, that's a joyful event. But it's about, it is the birth of Jesus Christ. It is the birth of the King of Kings, the Savior of the world. God sent His Son to earth. That's what's happening during Christmas. The greatest gift ever for you and for me. That is what happened during Christmas time 2,000 years ago. And that is what we are celebrating still today. The greatest gift ever. And Paul, Apostle Paul, so beautiful, write about this in Ephesians 2 verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. So listen to this. And this is not from yourselves. Your salvation is not from yourselves. God sent you and me a gift. And that gift is a person. And that person was born. And that person died on a cross. And He rose again. There's an empty grave. And that is the gift of God for you and for me. And that is what we celebrate during Christmas time. That is why we are so full of joy. But it's a very intelligent question if you ask me, but what about bad circumstances? What about tough circumstances? What about negative circumstances? It's easy to be full of joy when it's going well. It's easy to be full of joy when wonderful things happen and nice things happen. Listen to Paul again in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 18. Verse 16, rejoice always. And verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Two very important words again. Always. Rejoice always. In all circumstances. But very important to, again, the always, it's a very important word, but also the in all circumstances. It's not for all circumstances. In all circumstances. When it's going bad, challenging times, tough times, dark times in your life, give thanks in those times. Why? You received the greatest gift 2,000 years ago. This is not about an event. This is not about a bunch of flowers. This is not about a new car. This is not about the Springboks winning a rugby game. This is about the greatest gift of all time. That's why give thanks in all circumstances. Now, there's a very, very big misunderstanding today. A lot of people strive to be happy, happy. Happiness, they're looking for happiness. Now, happiness is always coupled to an event. It always depends on an event. My birthday, oh yes, then I'm happy. A new present, oh yes, then I'm happy. It's something, happiness is something that always comes from the outside. It comes from the outside. I need somebody, I need something to make me happy, to give me happiness. Joy is what happened 2,000 years ago. The greatest gift ever, Jesus Christ. It's all about a person. It's not about an event. It's about a person. The person that was sent to earth 2,000 years ago, that was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, And that joy is from the inside. That joy is from the inside out. Therefore, I do not need an event. I do not need something or somebody to experience joy. When it comes to happiness, yes, you need somebody or something to give you happiness. That's why it's not very deep. Joy is deep. It's a deep, deep joy. And we read about it again in Philippians 4, verse 4. And again, it's Paul writing. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. So there we have it again. Rejoice in the Lord. It's all about Jesus Christ, the Savior that saved me. He gave me a new identity. He made me a new person. Therefore, I can rejoice in Him. I do not need anything from the outside. Jesus Christ is living in me, and therefore I can have deep joy. When? Always. I will say it again. Always. Good circumstances, easy circumstances, happy circumstances, and the dark, the challenging times, the challenging circumstances. Joy comes from the inside. Now, how do we live this joy? How do we show this joy? Because when Christ lived in you, you respond with a new lifestyle, a lifestyle of joy. And I want to take you to Luke 7, verses 37 and 38 to illustrate this new lifestyle. Listen to this. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on him. Again, I want to pause here. A few very, very important things from the scripture. We have to do with a sinful woman. And we have to do with the house of a Pharisee. That's not a good combination. That's not a number one combination. That's not a winning combination. But this woman is so full of joy. She's overflowing with joy. She breaks all the rules. She couldn't care about rules and about what's right or what's wrong. So she basically barged into that house. And when she saw Jesus, she started to weep. She cried. There were a lot of tears. And the tears fell on the feet of Jesus. And she bowed down. She basically washed his feet with her tears. See, she used her hair to dry his feet. And then she kissed his feet. That is joy. That is overflowing joy. And then she used the very expensive perfume. The perfume, by the way, that's a year's salary. The value of the perfume is a full year's salary. The Pharisee was obviously not happy, not at all. This terrible woman, this sinful woman. But when I look at myself in the mirror, yes, I see a sinful person that was saved by grace, and now I'm called holy. I'm a holy person. I'm a new person with a new identity. And that is what she grasped. That is what she knew. That's why she couldn't care less about who says what. And she touched Jesus and she blessed Jesus. Why? Because of overflowing joy, overflowing joy. And that is the look of joy. And that is how you and I are supposed to live every day of our lives, despite difficult, dark circumstances in our life. And then I want to take you to the Old Testament, to Habakkuk 3. Just a little context. Very, very important to realize that during these times, the verse that I'm going to read to you now, this is agricultural times in Israel. Either agriculture or you're a fisher. You go to the sea, you go to the lake, whatever, and that is your bread and butter. Agriculture is your bread and butter. Agriculture is your security. Agriculture, that's the clothes on your body. That is agriculture. And within that context, let's read Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Everything is going wrong. Talk about dark circumstances. Talk about horrible circumstances. No grapes, no olives, nothing on the fields, no sheep, no cattle. Yet, despite difficult circumstances, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. And that's the message of Christmas. God sent Jesus Christ, his only Son, to this world to be your Savior, to be my Savior. Therefore, we can be joyful. We can be full of joy despite very, very difficult circumstances in our life. And now I want to show you a little piece of research, scientific research. They found there are three main reasons for joy in a person's life. The number one reason for joy in a person's life, number one, relationship with God, relationship with God. And that got everything to do with the person of Jesus Christ. It's not just an event. It's not just the birth of a baby. It's the birth of a certain person, the birth of our Savior, the birth of the King of Kings, the birth of Jesus Christ. The second reason for joy, according to scientific research, quality friends. Quality friends. So make sure that you choose your friends wisely, friends and family that share this happiness, this deep joy of Christmas with you. And then the third reason for joy, unselfish giving. And if you have ever experienced unselfish giving, that's the message of Christmas. God gave his Son. God sent Jesus Christ. Talk about unselfish giving. And now the question in this Christmas time, how are we going to respond to God's giving? We are supposed to be givers, agents of grace, agents of love in this world. Christmas is not just one day of the year. Yes, we celebrate it on the 25th of December. That's worldwide the date. But every day we can be unselfish givers. And that is the message of Christmas. And that is a reason, one of the three main reasons for joy in your life and in my life. And then I want to close this message with another beautiful scripture. If you are looking for joy or one more reason for joy, you know why? Because God is joyful about you. God is dancing, is full of joy, overflowing with joy because of you and because of me. I know it sounds a little strange, it sounds a little ridiculous, but Zephaniah 3 verse 17, you will read the following words. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God will rejoice over you with singing. He's full of joy because of you, and he is the Savior. He is the Creator. He is your Father. He is my Father. And in his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. That's another reason for joy, a deep joy in this Christmas period, in this Christmas time. So it's not just about happiness. It's not just about a little celebration. It's all about having friends and family together and sharing the joy of Christmas, the joy of a person, the joy that a person brings to you and me. And that is the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the King of the world. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for joy, real, deep joy that we can find in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to the earth, that he was born here, that we can celebrate his birth because he is the King of Kings and he's the Savior of my life and he's the Savior of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. And what a privilege to bless you with the love of a Heavenly Father, the unconditional love of your Heavenly Father. I bless you with the forgiveness and the total freedom that you will find in Jesus Christ. And I bless you with the Holy Spirit that is with you every second of every day. Amen.